And this is KEOS 89.1 FM, College Station, Bryan, Texas. The left end of the dial done right. Good evening. I'm Jay Brakefield. I'm the program director of KEOS. And this evening, we're going to preempt a couple of regularly scheduled shows because we have an interesting and important issue to discuss, and we wanted to get it on the air as soon as possible. This is the controversy over the location of a new Blinn College campus in Bryan College Station. There has been the Blinn trustees have voted to, I believe they've taken an option on that property, the Lintech property, which is the old Westinghouse plant on Highway 6. And this has gotten some of the neighborhood folks pretty stirred up. For reasons that we'll discuss. Now, first, I did reach out to the Blinn people because I wanted to give them every opportunity to appear on the air with us or do an interview in advance and present their point of view. They said that they would not, they were civil and friendly, but they said that they didn't see that there was any point right now in getting into the discussion. They made the point that no decision has been made, and of course my answer to that was, well, that's why we want to go ahead and talk about it now, because once a decision has been made, it'll be kind of a dead issue. But I spoke to Jeff Tilley, who is the director of marketing communications at Blinn, and he emailed me a statement which I'm going to read. As you know, Blinn College is currently in the process of exploring options to accommodate the enrollment growth for Blinn's Brazos County campuses. Blinn has experienced 31.1% enrollment growth since 2006 and registered 18,413 students during the fall 2013 semester. Projections are that Blinn's Brazos County campuses, which enrolled 12,883 students last fall, could see enrollment exceed 15,000 by 2017 and approach 20,000 by 2025. Part of the process includes input from the communities. On Monday and Tuesday, the Board of Trustees heard from concerned citizens from nearby neighborhoods of the Earl Rudder Freeway South property. The Board respects and appreciates the citizens' input and will use all available information to make the best decision for the future of Blinn College and the students we serve. And on our discussion this evening, we have Dr. John Lawler, who is an A&M professor. We have Patrick Siegert, who is a real estate broker and developer and has some interesting history with this project. And we have Henry Whitmer, who is the a resident of Raintree, and John Stettner, a retired A&M press director, who is now, interestingly enough, in law enforcement. So I think we can present a variety of viewpoints, and we are also inviting people to call in. If you want to call in and express your viewpoints, you can do so by calling 979-779-5367. A volunteer will answer the phone and talk to you, make sure you want to be on the air, and give you a couple of tips on what to do, and then we'll be happy to take your call. So let's start with Mr. Siegert, because as I understand it, your involvement with this, or your connection to it, actually goes back a couple of decades. Is that right?
That's correct. About 20 years ago, I was working with in the real estate business here in Bryan College Station, and I was approached by Don Volker and Dr. Schwartz, who were on staff at Blinn at the time, and they were interested at the time in buying the old Bryan Hospital building. And as a net result of that, we got into a discussion, and I told them that's really not how site selection needed to be done for a campus, and that the more appropriate way to do this would be to take a look at what the needs were for the students. And then the net result of that was they wound up at Villa Maria and 29th Street on a 49-acre tract of land that was the former Shulman Skyway drive-in theaters.
Now, that's where the current Bryan campus is.
That's correct.
And so you said you left town for about 20 years, right?
I moved to San Antonio for about 20 years. And then, interestingly, when I moved back to College Station, I opened the newspaper that week that I moved back, and it looked like they were repeating history with their intent to purchase the Westinghouse building.
And so have you gone over and spoken to the trustees about this at one of these meetings that they referred to?
I did, in fact. I've been to two Board of Trustees meetings. And in addition to that, I took it upon took the initiative to go over and meet with Harold Nolte, Dr. Nolte, the president of Blinn, and as fate would have it, had the opportunity to have an audience with the chairman of the board as well, and expressed my concerns about how this is being planned, and that more planning needs to go into creating a permanent campus home for Blinn, and some of the thoughts behind that.
What was their response?
They were very open to the discussion, but as you can see, they've tabled the decision on Westinghouse, and so here we are.
And there, as I understand it, there was a feasibility study that was done, and that was a 60-day study. Is that right?
There's a unrestricted right to terminate the contract. And that period, that termination period is after 60 days. So they've been studying the Westinghouse property, but have not yet made a decision.
And when is that 60 days up?
60 days after the 30th of April, whatever day that would fall on.
So we're coming to the end of that window, right?
That's correct.
Although they could extend it.
They could extend it, right, correct. Or they could just, what they should do is just elect to terminate their unrestricted right to terminate the contract. They should exercise that right.
So, in effect, do they have an option on the property at this point? What exactly is the status of that?
I haven't seen the contract myself, but that's how it typically would work.
Okay. And have they set a price?
I'm not privy to those details either.
No price has been negotiated, from what I know, yet.
But now there was also talk of a bond issue, $24.5 million bond issue in order to finance this deal?
Right. They would incur tremendous debt to purchase the Westinghouse property.
Are these bonds that would have to be approved by the voters?
I don't know. I can't speak to that.
Okay. So your point, or you have a number of points, but essentially, you just don't think this is good planning, and you don't think that the, for various reasons, and you've been in this business yourself for a long time, you just don't think this is a productive plan. What sort of physical shape is that building and the property in?
I don't know, but the retrofitting of Lintec isn't a plan at all. In fact, the fact is that it demonstrates the aftermath of the absence of planning,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I think needs to occur. That's what's been remiss.
Okay. Well, I know that, and we can pursue a number of aspects of this, but the now you don't live in the immediate area, but some of our guests do. As I understand it, the residents of the Raintree and Emerald Forest subdivisions are very concerned about the impact of this on the traffic and possibly crime and some other things. Would you like to speak to that, Dr. Lawler?
Sure. Briefly, both Raintree and Emerald Forest, as well as some of the adjoining neighborhoods, might have significant traffic going through them. The property, the Lintec property, right now has one entrance, and that comes from the feeder road. And so that could only come from the south. So if traffic was coming from the north, they would have to basically cross over, turn around, come through. If they were coming from the north and turning on to Southwest Parkway, the only way they could get there would be through Raintree. And Raintree is three stubs, three streets that could be expanded upon. So that means a significant amount of traffic would have to go through Raintree and potentially the adjoining neighborhoods as well.
And aren't there some pipelines back in there that have raised some concerns as well? Somebody raised that point.
Henry?
The issue is with, like, the gas, their gas pipelines, they could explode. How do you evacuate?
They can't hear you. Well, we'll Yeah, we'll move on with that later. So, and when you went to the Blinn trustees meeting and raised these concerns about the traffic and so forth, what sort of response was there from the trustees?
No real immediate response. And this type of meeting, a number of people talked for, they had 5 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
And there was really no discussion afterwards. And we saw a story the next morning that this had been tabled. So at this point, we have no decision. One of my concerns, like Mr. Siegert, has to do with the planning. So we not only have $24.5 million that will be bonded, but there's $3 million that evidently will be used for temporary facilities, probably at Bryan campus, possibly the College Station campus. So in contrast, there is a plan that's been advocated to the city of Bryan as well as Blinn that would allow the purchase of at least 50 acres of land for free. This plan would also has three buildings or three academic facilities. They are about 13,000 square feet each for 52,000 square feet altogether that could be ready within 6 or 7 months, that could be ready to be used by the students fairly quickly.
Where is that property?
That property is by Old Reliant Road. So mm-hmm. that's some property that's been owned by Sam Harrison's family for quite a bit of time.
And so he would be willing to donate that property?
He would donate it for free.
50 acres.
50 acres.
And then there an option on another 50?
There is, indeed.
Okay, so potentially they could have 100 acres up there on the other side of 6.
Right. The plan he's presented, there would be 53,000 square feet facilities available within really probably 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, there's a long-term plan for over 200,000 square feet of facilities, which could be a flagship campus for Blinn.
And there's an existing overpass that's already been developed, fully developed, a 7-lane overpass that exists. This project would not be a detriment to any neighborhood. It has room to plan. It has room to grow. It has everything that Blinn is needing. And they've also gotten a commitment from the city of Bryan to do an extension of a 5-lane Austin's Colony Parkway all the way to Highway 21.
Right.
So that would create an epicenter of a hub for a Blinn campus, much like A&M has with Texas Avenue, University Drive, Welborn Road, and George Bush Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
It would create that hub that Blinn could function from, without creating any traffic hassles for their neighbors.
Yeah, Texas DOT has approved $2.5 million worth of improvements for that area. So that way you've got an area that could be planned, could be zoned. So it would form, in a sense, an academic hub, not only of Blinn, but there's a high school nearby as well.
And we did, I did want to see if Dr. Harrison would be available, but I was told that he was out of town. There, you know, this is, you know, a reasonably complex matter, and we probably won't be able to, you know, to present all the, you know, all the various viewpoints or aspects of it today. But we'll certainly try to get around to as many as we can. And Mr. Whitmer, you know, you live in Raintree, is that right?
That's correct.
And how do you think this would affect you if it goes forward?
Well, not only will it affect Raintree, but the new subdivisions right behind Raintree. The police department sponsored a website where all the Raintree people can exchange information, where they want to have dogs that are lost or garage sales or whatever. And we have a pretty good number of people that join that. And one of the things they ask is, why do you like living in Raintree? And the responses are almost identical. Peaceful, no crime, low traffic, great place to raise kids, the park is excellent, and friendly neighbors. Now, you know, that's what Raintree is. It consists of primarily families. We have military veterans. We have healthcare workers. We have educators from kindergarten to university levels. We got city, state, county, and federal support employees, and we do have some students. We, for the most part, get along very well, and if Blinn takes over Lintech, then whatever rental property comes up or whatever houses will be sold, will most likely go to the student families, and we will lose a family neighborhood.
Yeah. The College Station option also is a it's limited in terms of its fingerprint. That means that Blinn has plans to actually to develop an additional facility besides College Station if that option is chosen. So that was in the Eagle a couple of weeks ago.
Now, isn't that now? There's also an engineering company study of this Bryan property. Is that right? By
Boca Powell. Boca Powell.
Now that's the feasibility study of the College Station side,
yes,
right?
Sir.
No, that was actually to look at overall what does Blinn need to do.
Oh, I see. It wasn't limited to that site.
And they told them that they needed to address their immediate needs, then they needed to address their interim needs, and then finally a permanent solution to plan for their growth so that this doesn't continue to be a problem on into the future.
And that and
they paid $150,000, I understand, for that study.
Knowledge of that study, as I understand it, is based on your conversation with a couple of people from Blinn. Is that right?
That's correct.
Because the Blinn trustees did not make this document public. In fact, excuse me, at that last meeting where they tabled the matter, as I understand it from the Eagle story, which you all said was quite accurate, there was an hour of public discussion and then a three-hour executive session, and then they adjourned and wouldn't take any further questions or answer any or discuss the matter further. Is that right?
That's correct, but that's also their format.
That was known in advance,
and so that was appropriate.
Right, I understand that. I'm not accusing them of anything. All I'm saying is that I'm just making the point that nobody has none of you has actually seen that document. You're basing your statements about the feasibility study on what you've been told, and I have no reason to believe that's not true. But there was also a study of the Bryan site by Gessner Engineering. Is that right?
That's correct. Uh-huh. They did the engineering actually on the site.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Harrison commissioned that study. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And what does that study essentially say?
Well, it provided for the temporary solution, or excuse me, the immediate solution to the classroom needs for Blinn.
Mm-hmm.
That first phase of what Boca Powell was saying was needed. But then there was also going into the future, it addressed the needs for Blinn, their intermediate needs, and their long-term needs.
Right.
And it's interesting, I don't know of one person that's come forward at any of the public hearings to present a positive reasoning for the LIHTC decision. And my understanding from my open records request from College Station is that there actually is a development agreement in place with LIHTC for how they planned to improve that property. They were set to be the anchor in a development agreement. And then develop the property out.
There's supposed to be, in effect, a business park there?
A science park is what they're calling it. It had mm-hmm. a hotel, a proposed hotel. It had a proposed athletic facility, loft housing over offices, and that sort of thing. It was that development agreement says absolutely nothing about it being used as a college campus.
And that development agreement goes back to 2009, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so if they go forward with the campus proposal, what happens to the development agreement? Does it just go by the wayside?
I really don't know, and I think that's a good question to ask because it's very much in the interest of the citizens of Brazos County. It's very much in the interest of the citizens of College Station because if Blinn occupies the LIHTC property, the City of College Station, the College Station Independent School District, and Brazos County will lose approximately $227,000 a year, every year, in revenue.
Because of the taxes paid by the businesses that are in there now?
That's correct.
And what are those businesses?
I really don't know, except for LIHTC.
It's primarily LIHTC, yeah.
Okay, and LIHTC is what, a software development company? Or
I think it has something to do with it's research. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing some research, I know, on
research and hardware. I've actually worked with them a little bit on some mm-hmm. Department of Defense-related stuff, so they do a lot of development.
So if Blinn went in there, what would happen to LIHTC? Would it have to move somewhere else?
I think they made some sort of provision, or I've read about some sort of provision where they could stay for
years. Up to 36 months. Yeah. And then after that, we don't know.
So they might have to go somewhere else. They own that property? Does Lintec own the property?
Lintec does own the property, yes. That's correct.
So they would sell it to Blinn, essentially.
Correct. And then, if they sold it to Blinn, I think it would be a foolish move for Blinn, but
there you
go. It's what's proposed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how did this? What's the chronology of all this? Basically, now you were 20 years ago. Yeah. You were talking to them about their development needs, and then did that just all kind of lie dormant for a while, and then come back, or how did that work?
Well, they continued to grow, and as we knew that they would, and that campus at Bryan is landlocked, and it had some traffic issues. If you've read the letters to the editor and so forth, there have been occasions where people have been upset about the traffic on 29th and Villa Maria as a net result of the number of students that are going to Blinn. We actually had someone who presented an excellent presentation at the Board of Trustees meeting in Brenham last Tuesday night, because she was actually a resident on Esther, which is a side street coming off of the Blinn campus, and so were her in-laws were on the next street over. They wound up moving to get away from the traffic problems that they were occurring on 29th and Villa Maria. As fate would have it, she moved to Emerald Forest.
Okay. Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Exactly.
And, of course, since 2009, Texas A&M has had extraordinary growth from a little over 45,000 up to 58,000 now. We expect possibly 75,000 within a decade. And so as part of that, there are core classes, core curriculum that have to be addressed, especially in engineering. So there's a 25 by 25 plan. We're going from 10,000 undergraduate engineering students to 25,000 undergraduate engineering students by 2025. And that's, of course, just engineering. There are some plans for a teaching building to go up, but we may not have we don't have the resources to be able to deal with future growth at A&M. So A&M is going to be interlocked and even more dependent on Blinn than ever before. So growth is going to happen. It's going to be extraordinary.
Well, and as the Blinn statement pointed out, yeah, the growth is going on because Blinn, as I understand it, in addition to being a less expensive alternative, provides a lot of the basic classes, a lot of
that's
the core
exactly
stuff.
That's exactly right, those core classes. And so we're going to see an increasing number of students who are taking those core classes at Blinn. And there's a number of cooperative agreements for physics and other classes as well, and that will continue.
So Blinn and A&M are really, I guess they have a symbiotic relationship, one might say.
Yeah, so, it's a relationship that they're still working out. So the question is, what site is best for Blinn's growth as well as Texas A&M's growth and as well as the communities?
So what is the physical status of the Lintec property? How old is that building?
32 years old.
And what kind of shape is it in?
I haven't been inside the building myself, but I've read press releases from the City of College Station from back in 2009, who they were just absolutely elated that Lintec came into the property because it had fallen into such disrepair. They were having to replace air conditioning. It had river rock roofing that needed to be removed. There was some abatement, I understand, from that press release.
So Lintec, they occupy some of the property, but not all of it. So if it's going to be developed, that might be more of an issue, more problematic than they anticipate.
How many square feet is the building, do you know?
180,000 square feet.
Wow.
So it's a fairly sizable facility. How much of it has developed now for Lintec, I don't know, but it's a fraction. Part of the reason we know this is if Blinn moves in there, Lintec would stay for up to 36 months.
Mm-hmm. So initially, anyway, Blinn would have access to only a part of that.
That's correct. And it would have to be upgraded. And that's not trivial. So we developed some space within our facilities, and it was almost ready to go. It was old physics laboratories. And it still costs $40 a square foot just to do that. rehabbing a building can be even more expensive than building a new building sometimes. And the advantage of having new facilities, you can build it the way you want to. You can anticipate the growth. Well, hopefully that's something that they would do.
Mm-hmm.
And the long-term plan in Sam Harrison's facility in Bryan will be up to 200,000 square feet, perhaps even more.
So what's that land? What's he doing with that land now? Is it just basically sitting vacant?
Yes, it is. It's sitting vacant. It has an ag exemption on it, so the county's not actually earning any money. And, of course, Blinn wouldn't be paying taxes on that property, but all of the development that's going to go around that property is going to be have to have taxes paid on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hundreds of millions of dollars in new development that's taxed.
Yeah, so Bryan gains tax revenue, whereas College Station would lose tax revenue if the site were in College Station.
Right. Well, are there some issues? I think somebody I talked to in our earlier discussions mentioned the parking lot at LenTech. Are there some issues with it?
I've driven that parking lot, and the parking lot's in disrepair.
Okay.
It's full of potholes and so forth. But, you know, those are really minor issues when you compare it to the significant issues of the existing infrastructure that's in place in the Bryan location and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Then one other thing, and this is just sort of another side issue, but it's significant if Blinn ever anticipates branding itself and being able to do fundraising and so forth in our community. And that is, if you look at the logo, for example, of the City of College Station, the City of College Station paid Texas A&M University to put on their logo, home of Texas A&M University. I think that clouds the intent of College Station's identity. Texas A&M will forever be the identity of higher education in College Station. Blinn will never have that identity there. Whereas in Bryan, Blinn is the identity of higher education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that they can then translate to branding and then translate that branding into additional fundraising, just as Texas A&M does.
Yeah, if there were two campuses in Bryan, they'd be 5 or 6 minutes apart. The potential facilities near Old Reliance would be highly visible for the road, so it would from the road from Highway 6. So it would represent a very important brand for, mm-hmm. for Blinn.
Whereas now, is the LenTech building, is it visible from the expressway?
Barely. It's a very, very low building. It almost seems like a bunker when you look at it from the road, if you can see it from the road. Very difficult to see. It's in an area that's landlocked. It's surrounded. There is a Catholic church on one side, Church of Christ on the other. There is a Raintree behind it and a number of other adjoining neighborhoods. So there's really no room for growth or adding any support structure, any businesses close by, whereas the site in Bryan would allow for that.
The actual development plan that they had with the City of College Station for LenTech is a good development plan. And I think that that's probably a good way for the City of College Station to proceed. It keeps that property as a performing asset instead mm-hmm. of a non-performing asset. And it's something that can move College Station forward, whereas I don't see that being the case if Blinn purchases that property.
Yeah. The Bryan facility, the long-term plans are to build dormitories there as well. So it would allow on-campus living and I think a positive experience for the students. The LenTech building, it's hideous, to put it nicely.
What color is it?
It's white, I think.
Gray.
What's not
it's gray.
It's gray. It used to be
Battleship
white.
Battleship gray. And I think it has a white semicircle entrance, but it's
That's
almost
right.
Battleship gray.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me that the Bryan location is a physically responsible way to plan and manage Blinn's growth, whereas I don't see any planning going into the LenTech property. It's just throwing debt at a problem. Whereas the Bryan is incremental debt with growth or incremental leasing with growth. You look at the model that Texas A&M has going on right now at Century Square. They're doing a public-private joint venture. What I'm talking about is the property on the corner of University Drive and College Avenue. And it's where the old married student housing was in Hensel Park, that area back there.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M reached a public-private joint venture where there's a company out of Houston that's Midway Developers are going to come in and develop that. It's going to be hotel, retail, student housing, But it's on land that's leased by Texas A&M that will revert ultimately to Texas A&M. And it's a model that, that Blinn could take a look at on that Bryan campus. There's there's so many possibilities if they open their minds to how to do it.
Is the LIHNTC plan, is that viewed as a permanent solution or is that viewed as an interim measure?
I've never heard anybody address it as a permanent solution.
In a sense, it's an interim because there are already plans to build something else, either in College Station or Bryan. So this is a stopgap temporary measure.
For how long? Do we know?
Unknown.
It's like I said before, it's the retrofitting of LIHNTC isn't a plan. It's the aftermath of the absence of a plan.
Mm-hmm. So did you think they just, and I know we can't read other people's minds, and that's probably a good thing, but do you think that basically this is kind of a almost a frantic type of catch-up thing, like, oops, we've grown a lot and we haven't done a lot, and now we've got to do something real quick?
I think that's a good way to characterize it. I think that's exactly what's happened. But there are other solutions available. This is a quick and easy fix to an immediate problem, but it's not a, it has no permanence. It has no plan. There's just an absence of planning. And we can take the time and plan a campus. We can provide for the immediate needs in Bryan with the campus on the Harrison property. And at the same time, take the time to look at what do we need to do in 5 years? What do we need to do in five decades?
How urgent is this? How soon do they, I mean, are they bursting at the seams? Do they have to do something pretty quick?
I'm told that there are four or five students sitting on the floor at the Bryan campus at classes that were going on last semester. There is an urgent need for additional classroom space.
Yeah, they'd like to have something in place by 2015 fall or even spring 2015.
The Bryan, just a few months away.
Not long.
The temporary Bryan buildings can meet the needs that exist as quickly or actually quicker than LIHNTC can.
Yeah, the buildings on the Sam Harrison property evidently can be up in 6 or 7 months. So they could meet the needs relatively quickly, and they'd be new facilities.
It's as opposed to the a focus group that met earlier. Why has nobody from presented a positive argument for LIHNTC? The silence is deafening. There just is no compelling argument. That's not how you do site selection.
Well, as I said before, I read in the Eagle that the trustees were in a closed session for 3 hours. Was there any public discussion of this other than the comments from the people who drove over there?
Not that we know of. Most of the concern was their president of the district has had some run-ins with some of the faculty. So there was a vote of no confidence before that.
Right.
And they had a couple of hearings back-to-back on Monday and Tuesday. So most of the discussion after we got a chance to voice our opinion on that Monday and Tuesday was really about the situation at Blinn. So
right.
They didn't really address the College Station LIHNTC site versus the Bryan site and our comments directly. They just tabled it.
Right. And Blinn, as I understand it, from what I've read in the paper and talking to people I know who were involved in all that, it sounds like they've just had a huge a sea change in their whole organizational structure, and that's what got the faculty stirred up.
Oh, absolutely. And this, in a sense, would be part of it. So would we have two campuses in Bryan versus a campus in Bryan and College Station? The campus in Brenham is very small, so there's a lot of dynamics there that would have to be considered, and how that fits into this equation, I don't know at this point.
I think the two issues are somewhat related in the sense that, Benjamin Franklin said the failing to plan is planning to fail, and we've already identified that as being kind of an issue that's going on in their shoehorning growth, their growth problem into existing buildings. Gee, what's the easy way out? I think what's happened with the faculty, and this is just my instinct in attending some of their meetings, is I think that's part of that same problem. They're trying to fix what's going on at Blinn from an administration standpoint and do the right things that are necessary to have, like other colleges do, have the administration in place. The same thing is needing to occur from a planning standpoint. It's just, it's a reorganization that needs to be occurring. They need to have somebody that's doing facility planning in advance. They need to have the same kinds of things that are going on with the administration by providing these deans. Don't you think?
Yes, and they'd have to be done together. This part of a long-term plan, and so I think that's almost an epidemic of lack of planning. And hopefully, the wiser voices will give them some insight.
Well, as I understand it, too, one of the objections from the neighborhood folks who have gone over to Brenham to speak is that people who don't live in this community are going to make decisions that will have a powerful impact on this community.
Indeed. I think there's been some concern expressed by the citizens at a College Station meeting, as well as Blinn, and we only found out about this a very short time ago in the newspaper. We really just kind of stumbled upon this. And
you mean the whole LIHTC plan?
Yeah, the whole LIHTC plan. And so this is something that's been in the grassroots only for a few weeks. So we've got a website if people want to visit that, and a petition, et cetera, that people who are concerned about the potential impact on family neighborhoods that really hasn't been considered as part of this.
And what is that website?
That website is part of the Nextdoor. It's Blinn Better Option, and it's at Weebly.com.
Weebly.com.
Oh, thank you. Let me correct myself. It's Blinn Better Option, all one word, Weebly.com.
Weebly is Weebly?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Where did Weebly come from?
Good. No, that's probably the toughest question you've come up with.
It doesn't matter. I'm just curious. Weebly is not a word I'm terribly familiar with, I guess. I'm sure if it's a word, I'm not sure. Anyway, but that's,
yeah, I think that's the site that actually allowed us to get
have
a pre-petition.
Okay. Yeah. And you say there's also a petition that you're asking people to sign?
Yes, indeed, there is.
And can they access that on that site?
They can access it on that site.
Okay. Well, it sounds like, and again, I regret that the Blinn folks...
And it also allows folks to have to state their opinion, so you can get on there and have something to say. We also have a Nextdoor site that's up between... Emerald Forest and Raintree and some of the other adjoining neighborhoods. So we encourage folks to get involved and learn more about it.
What is that Nextdoor site?
Nextdoor.com.
Okay, and what is that?
That is, I guess, a neighborhood information site. Mm-hmm. And a number of neighborhoods are on board, and it allows folks who register to be able to talk to each other about what's going on within the neighborhood. So we've got kind of an electronic version of City Hall.
How many folks have journeyed over to Brenham to speak at the Blinn trustee meetings?
Roughly about 20. About close to 20 on Monday, and mm-hmm. about the same on Tuesday.
Well, do you know when they're going to meet again? Did they say? Now that was a special meeting,
no,
right?
No, they're supposedly going to meet again before the end of the month, but we haven't heard a specific date yet.
Because if the 60-day window is closing by the end of
that's
the month,
correct. Then... So we don't have too long, do we? Just a few days.
Right. Well, and that was, when I talked to them, and they were saying, "Well, we haven't made a decision." You know, my point was that. You know, let's talk about it before a decision is made. And while the folks who have these concerns, can have some hope, at least some hope of, of having some impact. Well, we also have John Stetter with us. He is a retired. Now, you're a retired director of Texas A&M Press. Is that right?
That's correct, sir. I was had the good fortune to be in scholarly book publishing for 33 years or so before I retired.
When did you retire?
Retired in 2005, not from A&M, but from Southern Illinois University Press.
I see. So What do you do now?
I exercised a long smoldering interest in law enforcement, partly because of some of the books that I'd published previously. And for the last 8 years, I've been an officer with the Brazos County Sheriff's Department, working at the Brazos County Detention Center, which currently houses about 670 offenders.
So you're processing prisoners?
Yes, sir.
And based on your experience in law enforcement, what sort of, and you're also a resident of one of these neighborhoods, right?
My wife, Christine, and I moved to Emerald Forest in 1988, came down here from the University of Nevada to take a job from A&M. And Emerald Forest, then and now, is just a wonderful place. It's beautifully maintained homes. It's people that neighbors that have a real sense of community. It's always felt like a safe haven for us, and raised our son there. Been a real pleasure to live there.
Well, aside from the things we've already talked about with issues of traffic and so forth, what other problems do you see potentially occurring if this LIHTC thing goes into effect?
Well, any college campus can be a magnet for opportunistic crime. And unfortunately, on the west side of the freeway, the west side of the bypass over in College Station, there's been a real increase in aggravated assaults, aggravated robberies, burglaries, car break-ins, and indeed some crimes that are more extreme than that. The only
crimes against persons.
Absolutely. And if you put a campus with 1,500 students that stays open until 10 o'clock at night on the other side of that freeway, it doesn't take long to walk across Southwest Parkway. And absolutely, to assure the safety of both, the safety and the property of both students and the staff over there, there needs to be a robust law enforcement presence, and not just during the hours of classes in session. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week proposal. And that hasn't been addressed at all yet.
Do you know if there's been any thought given to increasing the size of the Blinn police force to cover this new campus?
I have not heard anything about that. They probably have a couple options, including paying the College Station police force to take on that burden, although all law enforcement agencies everywhere are typically understaffed. And it could be a bad situation very quickly, because as I say, the bad actors in the community, and unfortunately in every community there are folks like that, will have no problem accessing that campus and the surrounding neighborhoods unless there is a visible, robust, professional presence over there.
Well, is there... Now, are there any plans to put student housing at the LIHTC site, or would they have to live elsewhere?
No, there's no plan to do that. Whereas, again, there will be some dormitories potentially built in the long-term plan at the Bryan site. And again, I want to emphasize the differential in costs. We're looking at $24.5 million plus another $3 million in temporary facilities related to the LIHTC site, versus $9 to $10 million with improvements already made in the roadways of for the Bryan side. That's a significant difference in taxpayer funding that short term and long term would be impacted.
And as you say, the Bryan, you know, the going into the Bryan site would actually improve and increase tax revenue, whereas
that's correct.
Pulling those businesses out of that LIHTC site would cost College Station.
That's
revenue.
Right.
If I could just add one subtext to all this, I do think it's important. Clearly, and Dr. Lawler has spoken to this, there's going to be dramatic increases in A&M student population and all the support infrastructure that goes along with this. This whole situation, I think, highlights the necessity of local government involving citizens and how that's going to be managed. Clearly, developers, realtors, folks like that make it their business to attend council meetings, to have a presence there. And as we've seen in this situation, where literally we only had, up to this point, 3 weeks to respond to this, and in that short period of time managed to acquire almost 500 signatures on these petitions.
Yeah, I don't think it speaks very well.
No.
Where we have, in a sense, a smaller university, a college that has a plan that is really kind of half, you know what, that hasn't been planned out. We have potentially initial 35,000 students at Blinn and at A&M that we're going to see in the next decade. Yet there's been very little communication with not only the citizens, but between Bryan and College Station, between Blinn and Bryan, between Blinn and College Station and A&M. These are conversations that we all need to have as we plan for what the Brazos Valley and Bryan and College Station, as well as A&M and Blinn, are going to look like in 10 to 15 years. Are they going to be manageable at all?
Have any of the members of your group gone to the city council of either city and raised these concerns?
Yes,
indeed. Fact, we have.
For both Bryan and College Station.
So, and what was the response?
They didn't respond. It was very much the same format as it wasn't an agenda item. And so you're just making public comments. They don't respond to those public comments.
But, right. The same thing is true in College Station. We had 3 minutes to talk for each person.
And of course, in College Station, you don't have single member districts, so yeah. You don't really have a representative of
that's
that
correct.
Area.
Per Good
se.
Point.
But we do have some forward thinking council people who I think when they consider the loss of the tax revenue, it's $134,000 a year just for the school district. That's how much the school district will lose if Blinn imposes on that fund by the purchase of the Lintec building. If you start stacking up these two sites and you see the scales, and at first maybe they were interested in a quick fix at Lintec, but then if you start adding up all that the Bryan site brings to the equation and everything that it means in the future, the reality is that scale rises so high that it's inconceivable that they could make a decision to move to College Station.
Well, and it also, I think, uplifts the city of Bryan as well and provides opportunity for students who need a leg up, who maybe want to get to A&M and either can't afford to go there, and they would be close by.
Well, now, if the Lintec site were put into use as a campus, do you think that would increase the number of students who would want to live in that immediate area, maybe in some of these neighborhoods where you're living now?
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's our concern in Raintree and the surrounding neighborhoods.
Is there much in the way of students who live over there now?
We do have some students. It comes and goes. I know in the last several years, a number of the homes that come up for sale has been bought by young families and retirees.
Mm-hmm. Are there many students living in rental properties over there?
I don't see that many students. I do know they're there. I know of probably six homes right now that do have students in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a significant amount of rental properties in Raintree, and they could have a lot of turnover. Yeah. Because of the access. They would actually take three of the streets, and connect them and allow access to Blinn and from what would be Southwest Parkway through Raintree into the Blinn area.
We actually manage a home in Raintree, and we've had adults and working families that have moved in, but we feel like if Blinn takes over, those options are gone for these sort of people who are just trying to find a place to live long enough to be able to afford to buy a home here.
Mm-hmm.
The site at Lintec is not compatible for development of a college campus because of the absence of ingress and egress adequate to meet the needs and traffic demands of a burgeoning student campus like Blinn. And the fact is, it's landlocked. I've asked these in these discussions. I've said, name a compelling argument that makes Lintec even an option, a choice for Blinn, except that it exists. It's the same as going back to the argument of, okay, Bryan Hospital is vacant. Let's put students in those patients' rooms. And it's just a dysfunctional it's a dysfunctional use of that property, and it's the absence of planning. It's just trying to shoehorn a growth problem and make it not be a problem. Just make the problem go away.
So really, the type of thinking we saw 20 years ago is now coming home to roost again. And what we hope is that wiser voices will be heard.
What do they always say in the national news shows? They kick the can down the road.
Yeah. It's way down the road.
So it just sounds like, well, and, you know. And
But there is a good option. And the Bryan is a good option. It just needs to be studied more thoroughly and let some calm, wise heads prevail over in Brenham on that board of trustees. And I think that they are perfectly, I think that's a wonderful board, and I think they're capable of that, but they need to give that property and that vision the opportunity to grow.
And this suggests we just need more time. We need more time to talk. We need more time to plan. And I think that's what's been missing up to now. The Bryan plan potentially has, again, places for students to live. Long-term development, commercial development, that would not only bring city taxes into the city of Bryan, but also would allow zoning that could really manage a long-term facility that would be a good solution. That wouldn't be a stopgap measure where we need a second solution, either in College Station or Bryan, even with the Lintec facility.
Well, if they now has this study that the Dr. Harrison commissioned from this engineering firm, has that been presented to the cities and to the Blinn folks?
Yes, it has been, and in fact, it was the only one that was being considered along with several other possibilities, and they narrowed down that search to this site, and then just arbitrarily, out of the clear blue, they took notice of the fact that Lintec may be available and just completely got off on that tangent. Mm-hmm. And it once again demonstrates a certain kind of dysfunction that's going on with the planning that exists there.
Well, and again, you know, much of this is speculation and we couldn't get everybody in here today to talk about every wrinkle of this thing. Obviously, the folks from both the officials from both cities, would probably have some things to say about this, and maybe in a subsequent broadcast, we can talk to some of those folks and get some more information or
but
some
the city
more
of,
viewpoints.
But the city of Bryan actually did vote with their pocketbook. They put in the infrastructure that's needed to accommodate this campus. Mm-hmm. That overpass is huge. Seven lanes. It would carry the traffic that needs to be carried. They voted with their pocketbook by saying, we're going to extend and create the campus that's needed, just like Texas A&M has with, as I characterized earlier, with University Drive, Texas Avenue, George Bush, and Welborn. The Blinn campus in Bryan would be the epicenter of a hub. That campus would be the hub all of these traffic arteries around
it. Could even be
it.
The main campus. And the campus is now on 29th Street, which is, of course, near St. Joseph's Hospital. Could be a place where we have plenty of nurses that are being trained, et cetera, and folks in the healthcare industry that need to be trained, and this could be a great place for them.
And that tract is also near Rutter High School, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you'd have Blinn and the high school, and how far is that site from the existing Blinn campus? Couple miles?
Just a couple miles, 5 or 6 minutes, and it would be relatively easy to access on Old Reliance.
Yeah, whereas otherwise to go to the Lintec site, they'd have to probably drive
Texas. And then either turn around or go either turn around at Emerald Parkway. Or take a left and go over the overpass on Southwest Parkway, and the only way to get there now would be to go through Raintree and through some stubs that would be developed. So some streets would be finished and would go through towards the Lintec site.
So there would actually be new streets, or at least extensions of streets.
Right, that would provide access, and that would have to go through a neighborhood.
Okay.
And the site in Bryan doesn't need that. You can get there either from Highway 6, the feeder road, Old Reliance. There's a number of exits and egresses that would allow better traffic management. And the infrastructure is either in place or approved by the Texas Department of Transportation.
Yeah, College Station Council has publicly stated that they are indifferent whether Blinn comes in there or not.
Oh, I'm sorry, repeat that?
College Station Council has come out publicly stating that they are indifferent whether Blinn buys the LenTech property or not.
So really? They officially don't care.
which means that they're not bringing anything additional to the table. In fact, it'll be a net loss of revenue if they go to the LenTech site. Once again, I say, Brian is willing to vote with their pocketbook and bring in the infrastructure that's needed to create a quality, permanent campus in Brian. And College Station is not, they spent all of their incentives to get LenTech in there. So now, I guess, they need to honor the development plan that they made with LenTech and let LenTech develop that property and work together with LenTech to develop that property. I think it's a fabulous plan.
So I guess as T.S. Eliot said, this leads us to the overwhelming question. If this proposal to put the campus in the LenTech building doesn't make any sense, why is it even being considered?
Why is somebody not here to say, here's all of the advantages of LenTech? It begs that question. I can't think of one.
Right.
It seems internal politics are playing a significant role. How?
Yeah.
We only can guess.
Yeah. Well, and maybe the longstanding rivalry and kind of class and even racial distinctions between Brian and College Station could be a subtext.
Not only that, between Brenham, I think, and Brian.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a Brian campus that has most of the students, most of the faculty are there, yet the power structure is not so that their voices, they think, are heard.
Right. Well, it's certainly... it's certainly an interesting and complex issue, and we're going to continue to follow it and, talk to some of these other folks. And, maybe the next time the trustees meet over there, I'll go over there and cover the meeting so we can actually get a better sense of, of what's going on. Okay, well, I think we'd
certainly like to know what they're thinking. That's been a hard it's been hard to get.
Yeah, well, and it is tough, and because they certainly have a right not to speak and present their viewpoint, but I regret that they didn't, because obviously it would just be a much fuller, more complete and balanced discussion, with their voices to be heard. And I don't think they can pick up KEOS over there in a terrestrial radio signal, but we do stream live over the internet, and they know that. And I thought, well, maybe they'll hear and somebody will call in, but that didn't happen. And I understand that sometimes folks in that kind of position feel like the best thing to say is nothing, and that's understandable too. Well, thank you all very much for coming and taking part in this discussion. I think it's been real productive.